You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Kuf Chof Beit. We're holding at the bottom of Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. Omud Beit, one line up. So we had in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, halal, that you had a kezayat of it, the Mokim Echa, that it would be considered to be chayav alav, meaning it would be metame midyoraita. So when Rabbi Yehuda said halal, says Rav Huna, when he said shekinso, he really meant v'hu shekinso. In other words, it's only where he went back to the skin, he now scrapes it off, puts it into a cup. This is the only time that we would consider it to be actually metame, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Not if it happened to be that kids were playing with the skin and they scraped it and so on. Because if he was not megala das, says Rabbi Yehuda, that he actually wanted this afterwards, then it would become batal to the skin. It's only because you actually went back immediately and showed that it wasn't meant to be part of the skin. It's not the fact that it was bechunas, it's the fact that you were the one who was bechaneset. Rav Huna also made a further statement. And that is, that if you have an animal that was skinned, and now you've got two small pieces of meat that are still attached to the skin, those pieces of meat are not considered to be nevela. I'm talking about a case where the meat is nevela. They're not going to be metame because they are simply bottled to the or. Ha'or mevatlan. They are looked at as having been left on the skin, as being part of the skin. Now the truth is that this statement has some fascinating implications for the previous statement. Because, I mean, Rav Huna said that according to Rav Yehuda, if you take the skin that's on the or and you bring it all together, and that's all part of the alal, that palatato sakin, and that has come off, you know, and stayed on the side of the skin, well, he said that that is mitame binuvela, and we're going to see that there's important implications that interrelate these two statements. Let's take this second statement, simple statement, that the or is mavata. Now, on the surface, this creates a little bit of a problem, because Lamai says we're going to see very soon that there's a Mishnah later on that has a machlokas with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. But what the halacha would be if you would carry two pieces exactly like this that were left on a skin and you're carrying it around, and of course the nevela doesn't require kezayit if you're carrying it to be together, because there the totality of what you're carrying is what's important. It's only maga where the tumas nevela has to do with what you touch. There you can't touch half a zayit and another half a zayit and try to put them together. So there's a machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel says it would still be tame for nevelas because a tumas masa is automatically defined by its total. So here you have a total of a kezayit. Rabbi Akiva said over there that no, there's no tuma because the whole buster is bottled to the or. And as we saw earlier, or nevela is not matame. Now, therefore, our question is, when Rav Huna came along and made this statement, so who is he going according to? Alibid Aman. I mean, if he's telling us, Alibid Rabbi Shmuel, that or is mavata the basra, then there doesn't seem to be any way to support that, because Rabbi Shmuel was the one who said that or is not mavata the basra. If there's basra that is together, the two chatzis etim, so then if a guy carries it, it's going to be tummy, and we don't say that it was bato to the or, so ha'amar lo mavata lar. If, on the other hand, he's going to live to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, then he's simply repeating what Rabbi Akiva said, right? Rabbi Akiva said two pieces of or that are attached to skin, even if you carry them, they're not going to be tummy benavela because the or is mevatla. Well, obviously, then, pshit ha'amar mevata lar. That is what Rabbi Akiva said. So Rav Huna is either wrong or what he says is trivial. Answers the Gemara, no, actually, Le'olam Alibid Rabbi Yishmael. He was telling us a very big kiddush, that Rabbi Yishmael, even though he seems to be saying the opposite of what I just said, actually, Rabbi Yishmael agrees with what I'm saying. Because V'chiyomer, Rabbi Yishmael, lo mevatel or, where did Rabbi Yishmael say that a piece of skin attached to or is not batel? It's only in a case where Anamila Shepalatato Chaya. It's only where, let's say, something bit, like we had the case earlier, a dog bites an animal, And in killing it, first was actually, he had torn off a piece of the buser that was attached. And he did this in a couple of places. It's all attached to the skin. And now, it says Rabbi Shmuel, okay, I mean, there's no reason why that buser should not be an avela. They weren't done by a human being. They weren't left on the skin. It just turned out that way because of an accident. And therefore, why would Or be Mavad? But you see, what I'm talking about is a case where Pelatato Sakim. Pelatato Sakim means a guy is cutting the skin off, and he goes right ahead, and he doesn't care, and he leaves two Chatzoy Zesim together of Nevela on the skin, obviously indicating, in the act of his being careless, indicating that essentially, okay, this is skin. So, if that's the case, I'm turning to you, Rabbi Shmuel would be made that in that case, it is in fact bottle to the or. Not because it's bottle because of the guy, as that isn't the point, but because the guy may not have intended specifically to be this way, but the guy is basically cutting in a way that doesn't care about this, and because of that, the person has ended up allowing this buster to be part of the or, and in that case, the or is going to be mavatot. Okay, now the question is, I mean, that seems to be the only way to understand. If that's the case, so then let us take a look at what Rav Huna said about Rav Huna's statement in the Mishnah and see whether it's consistent with that interpretation. Tashma, let's take a look here where Rav Huna said in the Mishnah, remember, that halal hamechunas, if you gathered it together, put it on one place, so then, im yesh kezayit b'makom echad chayavim alav. According to this, you could take the kezayit and put it together, and then it would become tame, because as Rav Huna himself was the one who explained it, it's only where he was kinso, only where he himself specifically gathered it together. So he took the skin where the pieces had been left, and he scraped it off to put it together so that he would have a kezayit. If that's the case, Rav Yehuda is referring to specifically where we had a need for kinos. In other words, we started off with a little bit in each place, so certainly less than a full kezayit. So let's say that we had two kezayitim, and the guy that had just cut off the or went ahead and put them together into a cup. And there Rav Yehuda says, okay, since he went and he did it, clearly he himself wasn't being mevatalit. And just because it had been on the or, that doesn't mean that it would be bottled to the or, because if it had been bottled to the or, it wouldn't have done any good. They got to come back and be re-mekanesed. Once this is bottled from the dinner nevela, because it's not meat, you cannot recreate the dinner nevela by deciding you want it to be meat. That machshava stuff, that's all very nice to define what's considered to be an eichlin, because tum is yurit to things as per your machshava, but you cannot change the status of non-nevela meat to turn it into nevela meat with a machshava once it's been bottled to the or. That's for sure. And yet, nonetheless, Rav Huna is saying that that's exactly what you can do in this case, because here it was not bottled to the or originally, and therefore the guy could come back. Now look, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Palatato Sakin is no different than the Chaya, okay? So then according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're going to admit that even that case is not bottle, then Rav Huna would work out according to Rabbi Shmuel. Because since Rabbi Shmuel holds that or isn't bottle, so because in this case the person gathered together the halal, so he shows that he didn't want to be mevatel in terms of the adam being mevatelet, and the act itself is not mevatelet, the fact that it's connected to the or. So because of that, it still retains its din nevela, as long as he does this right away, and it shows that he didn't mean to be mevatelet. But if you're going to tell me that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who is the only one that basically says that there is no din of bittul to or of basar automatically, so then if you're going to tell me, but that was only said by Chaya, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, even palatato sakin is also instantly considered to be bottled to the or, because remember, that was the lashon of Rav Huna, or bitlo, not that the one who was doing the actual act with the sakin, that the other is mevatel. It's the fact that it's on the or that's mevatel. So then if you say that, how could you recreate the din avelas? So then Rav Huna would be going according to absolutely no one. Rav Huna, the Omar, come on. Because it would turn out, according to this, that Rabbi Shmuel is also Maida. Once a piece, that even if it's a chatzi zayit, once a piece was stuck to or, and that or had been cut off by a human's knife, it's automatically bottled. The or is mevatle, not the person's mevatle, remember. So then, how could Rabbi Yehuda possibly hold that if you put together a law, it has the din of an avela? So if Rav Huna hadn't said what he said, I mean, Rav Huna was the one who creates the problem for us. Rav Huna says, we're talking about Shekin So. In other words, you could have said that Rav Huna was talking about a case where there was a whole kezias that was left attached to the or and was palatato sakin, a kezias. But since Rav Huna comes along and says, no, it's clearly talking about a case where there were two pieces, little many, five pieces, whatever, and a guy came and collected it all together, and therefore we want to make sure, because of that he was not mevatelet, that's the point. But if we had been left to ourselves, we would have said, well, this has nothing to do with the machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Everybody agrees that a kezias shalem is certainly going to be tamei betunas avelas. We're only interested, and it says that, by the way, later. The only machlokas is where you have two pieces that are kachatzisai that get together to be a kezias. So therefore, it would mean that since he's throwing in the fact that kinso, that he is forcing us to explain Rav Yehuda in light of that machlokas. And we would have explained that the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda has nothing to do with chatzisaisi. It has to do with the fact that in the case where a libra Tanakama, where somebody actually went ahead and he cut it that way, leaving a whole kezayit from Mokam Echad, there, even though Rav Yehuda holds wrong, it's whole kezayit is not bottle, the Tanakama held that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are made that it would be bottle in that case, because if a person goes ahead and he does it, so then it is mevatel it. That could be. It's Rav Huna that creates the problem, right? Rav Huna is the one who says that. Since we're talking about Pekinso, so he's understanding that our Mishnah is very similar to the Mishnah later, with the Machlokas, Rav Yishmael and Rav Akiva. And Rav Yehuda is saying that in this case, they're not bottle to the Yor. The only question is whether the guy was Mavatalit. If he goes ahead and he brings it together, he shows he wasn't Mavatalit. And now, it would be good. But now that we've said that Rav Yehuna, the second mime that we brought of Rav Huna, now that we're saying Rav Huna is claiming that the Chiddush is Alibi the Rabbi Shmuel, it's but by the or, not by the das of the one who cuts it, so then that would mean that Rav Yehuda is not agreeing with anybody. And there's absolutely no basis for such a thing. Where did we see that there was a machlokas between Rav Yehuda with either Rav Yishmael or Rav Akiva? I mean, that doesn't make sense. So, Mimela, we now have no approach to understanding the Rav Huna the way we originally did, because it comes out to be a contradiction of Rav Huna, basically. It's no longer tenable as an explanation, both for this Mishnah and for the next Mishnah. That's how he got us in trouble. By explaining this Mishnah the way he did, he automatically relates the two Mishnayos, and now it turns out that his understanding in Rabbi Shmuel is contradictory. Therefore, we're going to have to change our mind about what Rav Huna meant by his din of bittul be'or. You know what? It must be that you're right. The way we understood originally in Rabbi Shmuel, that even palatato sakin, li'olam palatato sakin, alibi Rabbi Shmuel is indeed not bottle to the or. And Rav Huna, you're right, was going alibi to Rabbi Akiva, who says beferish in the Mishnah that a chatzi zayis is not bottle. So that means that the Mishnah here that he explained was actually going like Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah there that he's explaining, that is to say, the din of the Mishnah there, where we're talking about a piece of chatzizayat that is attached to skin, that indeed is going on Libra Rabbi Akiva. You asked before, but then that's pshita. We're back where we started from. Says the Gemara, no, that was our mistake. It isn't so pshita. Why? Because Ma'ad Tamei Kikama Rabbi Akiva, where did Rabbi Akiva hold that the or is mevatel chatzizayat of basar? Maybe we would have understood that to mean dafka where palatato sakin, and over there's an act that actually is an act of bittul. But in a case palatato chaya, over there it has nothing to do with anyone's intent. If it's palatato chaya, maybe in a chana, it wouldn't be bittul. So Rav Huna has to come along to explain that no, time at Rabbi Akiva is not because the guy is mevatel. It's because of the fact that that a piece of meat, small piece of meat that has no real significance, is attached to skin. And in that case, ha'or mevatlam, it really couldn't matter less. Lo shna palat chaya, lo shna palat sakin. And indeed, if you take a look at the end of the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, it's quite clear in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva is really speaking about even a case where it was palat chayana, makes no difference to him, and ichayat palat chaya would also be batal, because what does it add in the end of the Mishnah? Mipnei ma Rabbi Akiva mitaher ba'or. What is that? So you just said that. Or mevatlam. No, that's the point. You should know that the or, and only the or, is what's involved over here. It has nothing to do with a guy who went and did something about it. So therefore, everything is fine. Right? So it turns out that the Mish that's talking about Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, we're over there, he says that if it's Pachas B'Gazayas, it's still connected to the art, it will be Mitame B'Masa, and that's without needing Kinso. Because over there he's referring to Chaya. So there's no din of Kinso. Rabbi Akiva holds, it wouldn't help to be Kinso, because no matter what the point is, how it happened, anything Pachas B'Gazayas that's on or is bought. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is talking about Palatato Sakin, and over there, if the guy who was Palatato goes right ahead and he's Kainates, so it means that he hasn't had in mind that it should be Batal, and they weren't automatically Batal where the knife did it, which is what Rabbi Shmuel always holds, that this, the or is not Mavatal automatically. So Mimela over here, he's saying that you'll be Chayev, and it'll be Matami Midiraita. The Tana Kama holds it doesn't help anymore, because, maybe because they're all the Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, everything basically works out just perfect. Now, Zakhtay the Commissioner, Elu She'olotem Kifsaran, we have a halacha, we've started off our parak, and again, the dinim of Israchila, and what's mitztarif for Israchila. Here we're talking, we moved on, and we talked about the din of Tumas Nevelis, which is what we really got into now, and we learned before that or it's not considered to be Betame Binevela. So, the Mishnah now comes to say, but there are certain types of or that actually are metame binevela. And elush or anywhere metame as tumiyot biguf. It's not only binevela, it could be tumas meis. So elush orotem kivisaran. So the following all have a din in which the or has the same din of basar in terms of tuma. Or ha'adam, human or. So we have a kizayit of human or, and that is going to be metame just as if it were basar. The or chazir shal yishuv, the domesticated piggy. So that's very soft. And we have piggy rinds, and you know, they'll be metame. And they're obviously people eat them, so they're roi lachila, Rabbi Yudaimer, af or chazir abar, even a boar, wild pig, is also considered to be soft enough. The or choteret of the Gamal Haraka, now what a Raka, tender camel, means of a young age, we'll see what that means in the Gemara, or Harosh, Shel Egel Arach, also tender calf, or a Perasot, we're going to see the area, the skin that covers the nails, the hooves of the animal, and the or of the Beit Boshet, this is the or around the vaginal area of the female, which when it comes to Eila, obviously we can't discuss, we'll see later, because it's a male. The Or HaShlil, so if it's let's say an animal died, we have a fetus inside of it, so its skin is not considered to be Or of an Avela, it's considered to be Basar an Avela, and therefore it's, now obviously there's a Chosu Gabi Yisrei Achila, which was the opening Mishnah, and that would be true, Lagabi all of these Dinim too, if you're cannibals, then you can't eat the Or of Odom. Not to mention the fact, of course, that a mace is also anyway, but I know, but in terms of whatever Israel is involved, which the Rambam brings. The or shall takat al ya, and we're talking about now the skin, which is beneath the fat tail, which is very soft, and now we have the various or hanaka, koach, aleta'a, v'achomet. These are some of the shratzim that have more of a membrane kind of thing. And these are different types of lizards, chameleons, and so on. And that means that we consider the skin, like a snail or a lizard, to not really be skin. They're more like a soft membrane, and it would be the equivalent of the real basar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Halata'a is no different than a chulda. Chulda nowadays we call a rat, but there is a makor, and that's what is very confusing. According to Rashi, who identifies it as the weasel, that's why very often in the Pesachim, talking about the chulda, which is the weasel. And in any event, it means that it's a standard, it's just a standard. Or the kulam, all of the above, where it had gone through actual ibud, so that you had done what you normally do with chemicals and with salt, or shilech behem, which is another way of processing skin, tanning skin, is by simply walking over it over and over again. If it was a shear of kidei avodah, to be described in the Gemara, they will all be tahar because they lose their shame of being basar, and they're now something else, like an eitz yalma, it's not matame, it's or. This is true, chutz mi'or adam, human skin is always tame, even if it was mi'ubad. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, all of the Shmona Shratzim have orot by definition, and they are not metame, because they're considered to be or, not basa. So even though they look to you like a membranous, the Torah has given them a din of or. Omar Ula, Dvar Torah, look, the truth is, says Ula, there is no tuma at all on an or ha'adam. Because bisar ha'meit is not skin. How could you think that it's skin? It doesn't have anything to do with whether it's edible or not. And why did people, why did the rabbonim be geyser? That's all the rabbonim. Umatam amru tamei? Because they were afraid that kids would be like Nazis, you know? Zera shema yase adam orot aviv v'imo shtichim. I mean, what would be a better, you know, to have it, I mean, you can have a lambskin in your living room. Why not have mom's skin in the living room? Now, this sounds a little bit, this sounds a little bit insane.
Sick.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit sick. However, look, the truth is, why do we talk about mom and dad? Right? Why don't we talk about stuff? Sarah mate. I mean, it's a good use of aura mate. It's a good use for, you know, you shoot lions, you shoot natives, you know. I mean, so why wouldn't that be the makor of the Gzera? Tosfos and some of the other Rishonim take for granted that it isn't limited to the Gzera of Or Aviv V'Imo, but because it's a greater pagan in Kovet by Or Aviv V'Imo, so it mentions Or Aviv V'Imo because of the Kovet issue. But it's not that there would be a particular tendency to utilize Or Aviv V'Imo as Shtichim. However, there's an opposite possibility. The opposite possibility is, as those of you who enjoy Alexander McCall Smith will recall, that one of the makshavas of this lovely detective woman in Botswana is how marvelous it is, there's a minute they have in Botswana, that they bury their ancestors in their living room under the floor. Right? So how wonderful it is to have these burials under your floor, because you always have the spirit of your ancestors with you. You know, you're sitting around the table, mom and dad are at the table with you. I mean, yes, not quite.
They're still here.
They're still here.
Under the table.
Under the table. So apparently, we have a visceral reaction to this, which is an interesting issue. Those which came first, the visceral reaction or the takana. Because again, many of the inyanim of Torah are built into our feelings because this is the way that the nature of Mishpat is. So this to us is not, that is, it's possible. But in the same way that we understand that our sensitivity to not stealing is expressive of the overall chok in the oilam of there being a concept of property, which now to us has become mishpat because it works out naturally that obviously we have genes against stealing because it's a lot easier to survive if you're not being swatted at by people 20 times your size who crush you while you first steal. You don't have much of a chance to reproduce in those circumstances. So, what's that? That they don't steal? So it doesn't work.
They're reproducing like
I'm saying it works for cats from cats. That's the question. So, okay. That may be the case here as well. Is it shayach to say, especially the Ritva learns, that the Torah includes Gezeiros Derabbanan in terms of their remes and the smachta? It's not just that it's a mnemonic, it's that it's an actual remes, that there's a mokum for this in the Torah. Is it possible that a Gezeiros Derabbanan is reflective of a chok that is activated in terms of the way things end up working out? Is that people do not feel attracted to this kind of thing? But if that were the case, then maybe it's specifically or of the VMO. What, any part that I don't have to bury? So the same way I would like to use my father's coats. So why not have one's father nearby? So I did that. So only a Nazi would turn a human skin into a lampshade. But that's not necessarily the natural reaction. It could be that it's a reaction, a Western reaction.
Culturally specific.
Yeah, maybe that it's culturally specific. And maybe this Gezerah comes first. That's why I was very miserable with this Botswana thing.
It's
strange.
There's a company that you mail them your
ashes.
Yeah. When they die.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I thought of that when I saw that also. I thought of this Gemara when I saw that also. Yes.
Right.
Yes. You could turn the carbonized remnants of your relatives into a diamond.
You made a business out of it.
Sure, which is great. Why not carry mom around on a diamond ring?
Yeah, shit.
But seriously. So obviously it's not totally insane. It's just Westerners have a visceral reaction to anything biological. So, you know, so they don't like anything biological. Hide it away. But, I mean, once it turns into a diamond, there might as well be Lucy in the sky, you know. So that's fine. Say nothing, I mean. In other words, if or is mi'ubad, it's far enough away from the biological. Listen, people certainly don't really believe they're carrying dead pigs in their back pocket.
Right.
With their wallets, they don't relate to it as dead pigs. You know? Exactly.
Like,
you know, the pigskin wallet or an alligator wallet, they don't think they're carrying around a dead alligator. So, okay, so then maybe the same thing would be true over you anyway. It strikes us as being strange, but I'm just pointing out that it's not as strange as it appears. So now that one, remember that this way that we're learning is that the Iker Takona of Tuma on Ora Adam is itself because of this issue. Just close the door. There's another Lashon. The other Lashon goes like this. Iker Dematne La Asefa. That Ora Adam in the Reisha really is Tame. Why did the Seifa say that even if you can, Ora Adam et Tomei, V'kulan shibdano shilech ben k'dei avodat ta'orin, chutz mi Ora Adam. It was on that that Ula said, that part is a gzera. But the ikadid of Tumat Ora Adam is not a gzera. Amar Ula, Dvar Torah, Ora Adam, she'ibdo is tahor. Matam, why did the Rabbanan say that even after Ibud, it's considered to be Tamei? Zira Hashem, ha'yaseh adam orot avivim moshtichim. So, matin la reisha, if you had to explain away the Iker Din of Tumas Adam on the reisha, kol shekein ha'seifa, then obviously that's true about the Sefer, even in the case of Ibud. So there, for sure, Ula's coming to say, why even in the case of Ibud? And Ula's Zera applies even more in the case of Ibud. But man dematne ha'seifa, that only the Seifa is a Tum in the Rabbanan Avala Reisha. On the Iker Din of Tumat Adam, the Tum is the Oraita. The next case we had in the Mishnah.
A bone
is a different source of Tum. Or it isn't a bone. It would have to be, Rov, Rov Minyan, Rov Binyan. I mean, a bone is not Matame. A bone would be Matame if you touch it.
Human.
I can't believe you managed to get me off target. The Orchazir, and now we have our delicious pork rinds. So that's if it's Mu'ubad. Mu'ubad it's for sure not, but the rind is not Mu'ubad. So the Orchazir, now there's a machloket about whether it applies only to the domesticated pig or even to the boar. So Babai Kamif again. The machlokas is that we're going according to the way it feels. Now, that seems trivial at this point, but we shall see that it's not at all trivial. In fact, there's an alternative, which is to look at it as being a din in the Torah, which we'll see in a moment. So, Mar Savar, Hai Ashun V'Hairofi. So, the Tanakhama holds that the cutoff point of what is considered to be tough skin is thick skin, and therefore we don't call it to be soft skin to have a din of Basar if it's on a boar. Mashenkein, if you hold that even the boar is included in it, so then Hainani Roch, you include the thick skinned boar as also bus. Or Choterecho Gamal Haraka. What do you mean by Raka? I mean, it's a very loose word. A soft camel. What is a soft camel? Omar Ula. So Ula said, Omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Kol Zman Shelo Ta'ana. As long as this camel had not been used for carrying burdens, at least that's what it sounds like, that it's a function of the actual use of the camel. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, well, what did he mean? Was it Higia Zmana Lita'on? How about if it's at the age where it would normally be used for carrying, but you never used it for carrying? It's a pet camel. Velo Ta'ana, Mao. Is it really a function of the actual use of the skin? Boy, I'll buy, so you can ask this in the opposite direction. How about if you had used the skin while the camel was very young and you had it carry for you? So you were a camel abuser. Loligiasmana liton vitana. I mean, this was that the unions were going crazy about this. What would be the din? Yeah, take them. Yotiv Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish, and you'll remember that Rish Lakish was a very tough man. So Yosef Rish Lakish, Rekami Boyalei, Rish Lakish was asking, what is the shear of a Gamal Haraka? So Rabbi Shmo Bar Abba was there, and he quoted the same Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi that Ula had quoted. Hachi of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Kozman Shalotana, there is a shear to Gamal Haraka, it's a din and tune. Oh, so happy Rish Lakish, he said, Tiv Lekobli, sit right here on the table where I can see you. That is Gishmak. I like it when somebody's got an answer to my problem. Okay. Same mice happened with Rabbi Zera. And Rabbi Zera was known to be a very gentle person, and because of very good midas. And he asks the same question. He's sitting around the Kamivoy, like Kama Gamal Haraka. So in his case, Rabin Bar Chinana said, Hachi Amar Ulam Rabbi Shuban Levi, Kozban Shalotana. Rabbi Zera didn't respond at all to what he said. And Rovin thought that was a little bit unfair because this was, you know, a nice piece of information. He repeated it. Avikatonila. So Rabbi Zera says to him, you know one thing in your life. You don't have to repeat it. You know, I heard it the first time. Choda havyelachos. You had one thing that you knew. You said it already, okay? Amrit, you said it already. Tochazi mabent kifed ari yisro lechassidu debova. The toughest guys in Eretz Yisrael, Rish Lakish, I mean, he wouldn't say Shalom Aleichem to you if you came from Bavel because you were rotten, no good, Nick, for not having come to Eretz Yisrael 10 centuries ago, you understand? Now, he won't talk to you. But somebody tells him a halacha that he learns from. He says, Tivla Kabli. Rabbi Zeru is known to be a soft, gentle person, a chassid in Bavel. It's not much if somebody teaches him something. He's Mavayish and Barabim. Okay, next thing that we had in the Mishnah was Or HaRosh of an Egel HaRach. But how do you define a young Egel? Kam Egel HaRach? Ulam Ar Ben Shnato. Rabbi Yochanan says, so Ula says as long as it's the first year. Rabbi Yochanan says as long as it's nursing. Now, it's not clear what these two shittas are. Iboilo. Did Ula mean Ben Shnato V'Ushayone? Ula was taking into consideration, even though it's suckling and it's first year, is what we're talking about. And Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't matter if it's still in its first year. As long as it's suckling, even if it's 13 months, whatever, it's also considered to be a soft skin because the nursing itself keeps it from developing a thick skin. Odilma Ula ben Shnato Komar. Maybe Ula is giving only one criterion, and that is only when it's in its first year, and it doesn't matter whether it's still suckling or not. Ben Yonek, Ben Shal Yonek. And comes on Rabbi Yochanan said to say, no, only a Yonek. Of course, I agree with you that it has to be within the first year. So Rabbi Yochanan is coming to add a condition. Vu shi Yonek. Well, you could see that very easily by analyzing the way that Rabbi Yochanan said his statement, Tashma. Rabbi Yochanan amar kol zman shi Yonek. Is that the way that you would say only if it's being Yonek? If you want to argue on someone who said that it's any time in the first year, and you wanted to say, no, only if it's been Yonek, you would say, Kozman Shionek. Kozman Shionek is expansive, as long as it's nursing. You would say, only if it's nursing. So if you meant the latter, in Itava, who's Yonek me by the way? Rabbi Yochanan should have said, well, this is true, but only if it's nursing, it's true. Shma mina, that clearly Rabbi Yochanan was indeed saying, as long as it's Yonek, even if it's beyond the first year. Or harosh shel egel harach ma'o shiyitamei. Now we've seen before, we've had a number of occasions in which this Mishnah here in the Arva Rotav was seen to be shaloka Allah. Rish Lakish, who knew that Rabbi Yochanan had actually passed against this Mishnah, went out to put him up against the wall to force him to explain why he was going against the Mishnah. So he went and asked him straight out, what is the din? And straight out of our Mishnah, right? What's the din of an Or HaRosh Shel Egel HaRach? Is it Metame or not? And he said, no, it's not matami, which is against the Mishnah. So he says to Rabbi Yochanan, Amarle, Limadatenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you taught us Elu Sharotein Kibisaran, and one of the cases in the Mishnah was Or HaRosh Al Egal Arach. Amarle, Al Takni Teni, stop driving me crazy about this issue. She who must be obeyed stands by the door. Al Takni Teni, stop driving me nuts with this. You're getting me upset here. Look, it's true that I keep going with this Mishnah, but that's not because I hold it's la'alocha. I found out subsequently that it's only a das yachid. See, even though I had been shina it to you as a stam Mishnah, which is the way it appeared, and I didn't tell you that, it's because I didn't realize at the time. Don't push me up against the wall. And how did I discover that it was a loshen yachid? Because I learned the brayta, the tanya. Hashochet et ha'ola. Lahaktir kizayet mihor shetachat ha'alya chutz l'mekomo. Now remember that in order for you to be able to turn an animal into pigel, so or posel, there's two psulim. You have either chutz l'mekomo or chutz l'zmano. So any mechitza violation, whether it's time or space, is poseling. But there's a difference. The mechitza of time is considered to be far more important, and therefore if you violate time constraints, it becomes disakarit to eat it. In your mind, we're talking about. If you violate spatial constraints in your mind, it's an iser lav to eat it. But it's only where you were dealing with something that was edible. Edible in this case, since it's an ayla, means edible by the mizbeah. That's considered to be basr. Therefore, if you shechted an ayla and you had in mind to do a haktora of one kezayit of or shetachat ha'aliyah, chutz u'mekomot posel, which means, obviously, that the or shetachat ha'aliyah is considered to be basr, because otherwise you're not mechuyav to bring it up on the mizbeah. And if you did it with the intent to being makriv et chutz lezmanai, then the whole thing becomes pigo, and you're chayav alav karet. Now note that it only says the or shetachat ha'aliyah. Now you might think, okay, we're just using that as an example, or shetachat ha'aliyah, and or any of these other, or no, because it continues on to say, Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlum omer, mishum Rabbi Yaakov, v'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikum omer, mishum Rabbi Shimon. It's not only the or shetachat ha'aliyah, it could be the or haparasot, it could be the or harosh of an egel harach, it could be the or shel al ha'alya, shetachat ha'alya, and it could even be any of the other things that the Chachamim list in the Mishnah of ha'or v'haroitav, where it says over there, elu she'orotem ki v'saran. What are any of the other things? Well, the only any of the other things are the vaginal skin. Why wouldn't he have listed that beferish? Well, because an eila would be very difficult to find with vaginal skin, being as it's a male. But what he's coming to say is that if you weren't talking about an eila, I would say, if you're talking about a chatas, you're talking about a shlamim, then I would have included that too. So anything listed in the Mishnah of Orva right of Lahavi or Shalbeta Boshat. The din is Chutz Limikamopa Sobein Bok Karet, Chutz is Manopiguva Kayavan Elaf Karet. What do you see from here? That the Tanakama, which was the Stam Mishnah, so to speak, here, is not the same person. Because our Mishnah is only going Aliba, the two Ma'amorim of Elazar ben Yehuda and Shimon ben Yehuda, right? Only they were the ones who say, no, it's not only the Or Shetachat Ha'aliyah. Therefore, when you ask me, says Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, practically speaking, what's the halacha of the Or of an Egel Arach? I'll tell you right now, our Mishnah is not a Stam Mishnah, it's not the halacha. It's only going Aliba, these two Dat Yachids. But the Stam Chachovim in that Braita disagree with the Tana that says our Mishnah. Okay, continued on, or beta perasot. Now, as you know, you take a look at the foot of an animal. It looks like there's an additional knee, right? Because it's really a human foot, which is an ankle, except it's become elongated. So the ankle looks like a knee. Now, that entire area has a very soft skin that runs from the top of the foot and comes across where the nails come out, are soaked, come out at the bottom. Above the hoof, it's very soft. Similar to our fingernails. Above the fingernail, you have that very, very soft and sensitive skin. Directly right over the roots of the fingernail. That's what hurts so much when you get a splinter in there and so on. Right? So, the question over here would be, what do you mean when you say Orbeta Parasot? Do you mean only at the very bottom, right over the nail? Or do you mean that whole piece where there's really no flesh there? It's just this bone with a skin covering. It's very soft. What's the halacha? So when you say Beta Parasot, it's actually a machloket. Rav says the Beta Parasot means exactly what it says. The area where the Parasot come out of. Only the very soft area, not the area above it. Whereas Rabbi Hanina says, no, it's the entire Arkuva HaNimkeret Im HaRosh, that lower foot, which people look at as a leg, not as a foot, because they don't recognize the nature of a foot in the animal. Yeah, I mean, you can't see the upper joint here. In the camel, as Gemara pointed out earlier, in a camel, you can actually see the upper joint. That's why it's so confusing. In a cow, it looks like this is the upper joint, but it isn't. Okay. That's the question. Or ha'anaka ton rabban. What happens over here? We have a machlokas about, it seems to be, entirely based on the question of gishta. Is the or ha'anaka, is that, do we include the or ha'lita'a together with the or ha'anaka? Or do we say, no, not everything, just some of the above are considered to be soft skin? Lamaisa, there's really three shitot. Ton rabban. When it says in the posik ele hatemeim lachem b'chol asheret, that extra hatemeim is l'rabot orotehem kivisaran. There are among these shratzim those whose skin is considered to have the same din as the basar and will be metame, not like the animal nevela where the or is not metame. Yochel afilu kulam. So you might think that it goes on the entire list. Talmud Lomar, therefore it says, no, Eile, only these. What do you mean, only these? What's only these mean? It lists all of these. So what do you mean, only these? That's what we're talking about. There's eight shruts, and those are the only eight that come under the listing of Eile. So now you're telling me, you might think all eight? No, it says only these, which are the eight. What do you mean? Eile kuloktivek. Omar Rav, no, that it's not really true, you see. Because there's two psukim, and the word liminehu actually serves as a break between the two psukim. And therefore, when we say the case of Eila Hatzmeim Lachem, it's only back up to liminehu. But anything above that, which includes things like rats or things that have real skin, they're not included. But that would include the lita'a and the anaka and the chomet. And what's interesting is even the tinshamet, which is not listed in our Mishnah, because that appears after the liminehu. And then it says eilat me'ilat. So those things that we just listed, not of course, including the meaning that were liminehu, are all tmeim lachem, including the skin. What do you mean? You mean the skin?
Why? I never would have thought it would be a different.
Because we learned that from Nevela. Nivlatam v'lobo. So therefore, I mean, this is a type of din in Nevela. There's Nivlat Sheretz, but not every Sheretz can be in Nevela. So mammals, every mammal can be in Nevela, but not every, well, you know, not really mammal, but what the Torah calls animals as opposed to Shrazim. Completely different, taxonomy, obviously. It's very interesting. You said yesterday the Shiloh, the taxonomy, Legabe, the Brocha. It's not really no gear, but it's one much fresh in my mind. It's like, Oriel was interested in having a big argument about what Brocha you make on blueberries. So, blueberries. What do you make? You make Adoma. So it's very, very interesting because the obviously taxonomically, if you're looking at the structure of the plant and so on, it's a tree.
Each 7 years.
Yeah, it's a classical tree, a blueberry. I mean, it's a bush, but it's still a tree.
He's okay.
But what's remarkable is that there was, for centuries, the shita, that on any bush, that's low bushes, you make because of its the way it looks. It looks like it's behind the mountain. I mean, that's not an eight. That's just this little plant, which is a whole different way of looking at it, because something that's in the water, that's a fish. Again, so the Dibra Tarek HaRishon B'nei Adam, that's true. If it's in the water, it's a fish. What do I care if it breathes, you know, with lungs or it's got a mammalian? So that's irrelevant. And that's really true, la halacha, which takes on the simple, the primitive human taxonomy, as we've seen many times. That's the deeper Targ Lashon B'nei Adam. So there, too, there's a machloket. So I saw that this in this this latest bracha book that came out, I forgot his name, where he says that today, and I don't know if this if it's really true, that today the blueberries grow on these large, I guess commercially, they grow them very large.
Like tree-like.
Like they're tree-like. And Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah passed, because if it's more than three, it's fucking high. So then everybody would agree, which nobody ever mentioned it because it was a double portion, but it wasn't three tefachim high. That to me, blueberries means richy. That's why I pick blueberries. That's in Finland. And there it's not three tefachim high.
It's really low to the
No, it's monish. It's like strawberries. Strawberries. I mean, the plant is a tree, right, as opposed to strawberry, which is a machlokas, because it's a question of whether it's really gizog kayam, whether the plant withers, even though it regrows. That's a machlokas, basically. But the question is, I told him, make adama. And everybody's screaming at him. It was the minute. It's interesting, Ramesha Paskin, is that if you have a minute, and you make adama, so you go according to your minute, make adama. No, on any of these, on any of those types. Blueberries. But the question is whether nowadays the minute would apply to what nowadays is called blueberries. I don't know. You know, you tell me that's the way it is, maybe. Maybe, but certainly there's a good makor for the Adama blueberry issue. Anyway, see here too. The shrutzim, I mean, yes, the shrutzim may be mammals and so on, but they're shorates. They scramble along the ground, and some of them may still be mammals, but we view them as being something else, shrutzim. Creepy things. So those are more like lizards. Okay, so those things which are truly lizard type of reptiles, and that are included over years, so those are metane, because the lumineo comes before. But that would mean that the tinshamet should be included. And yet the Mishnah didn't list tinshamet, right? So how could this be the makor? Asks the Gemara, so if that's the case, lichshav nami tinshamet. Omer Shmuel bar Yitzchak, look, the makor of this limud. You'll see Rav was the one who explained as being dependent on Mineu. Rav disagrees. Rav also, if he insists, he'll argue on a Tana, because he is a Tana if he wishes to be. So Rav Tana of Apollon, in his Mishnah, Tani Tinchamet, he actually listed the Tinchamet, because the makor of the din was the Diorita Ve'ele. Obviously, our Mishnah does not agree with Rav. So our Mishnah has now a machloket, first of all, with Rav, doesn't include Tinshamet. And then it has an internal machloket about whether it would include the Lita'ar or not, right? What is their svar? Tani didanlo, Tani Tinshamet. Omer of Sheshes Breder of Yidi. Well, our Tana is not arguing in principle on Rav Yehuda. There's no question that Rav Yehuda is arguing about the way that the skin appeared. What type of thickness of a membrane makes it a skin as opposed to a pasuk? So then that means that he's clearly going according to his own opinion, not according to any limit in the pasuk. Our Tana agrees with that. That it's really a svara. They're just arguing with how to define it. They're arguing about what is gishta. That's something else. So Tani did on Savalak Rav Yehuda Miikradin, Da'aza Batar Gishta. And what they're arguing about is the gishta of the lita'a. That's the machlokas, but gishta the lita'a kamiflegi. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Halal, Omar Avuna Vahusha Kamsa. The Omar Avuna, Shnei Chatzei Zeitim, Shiyashnan Agabei Ha'or, Ha'or Mevatlan. Alibidaban. I mean, Yalibid Rabbi Yishbal, Ha'omer Lo Mevatalor. Yalibid Rabbi Akiva Pshita, Ha'omer Mevatalor. The Yalom Alibid Rabbi Yishbal. V'chi amar Rabbi Yishmol, lo mevata lor. Hani mili shepalata to'o chaya, ava palata to'o sakin, bote. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda, imra alala mechadasim, yeshmo kizayit no kamachat chaya vin ala. And Ravuna is the one who said, vushikin so, now look. Iyam et bishlama palata to'o sakin lo Rabbi Yishmol, nami lo bote. So then you could say the Ravuna dobek Rabbi Yishmol. But if you're going to tell me palata to'o sakin lo Rabbi Yishmol is right up front is bote, then how could it help to be konisit? So Ravuna Yomer, come on. Elo leolam palatato sakin, Rabbi Shmuel is lo batil. When Ravuna said that the or is mevatel, was going like Rabbi Akiva. I pshita. No, not pshita. Why? Because ma de tebe ki gabri Rabbi Akiva havi mili palatato sakin ava palatato chayalobato. Therefore, comes along Rav Huna to say, listen here, you should know that I don't care how it is, wherever you've got shnei chatzai zeitim on or ali b'Rabbi Akiva, it's bato. Why? That time to Rabbi Akiva m'nesha or mevatlan. Lo shna palat chaya, lo shna palat sakin. That's the reality. And in fact, if you take a look, it actually says this, Giriktani Seifa, Mipnei Ma Rabbi Akiva Metaherba Or, Mipnei Sha Or Mivatlan. Elu She'orotehen Kivsaran, Or Ha'adam Ve'or Chazir Shal Yishuv, Rabbi Yudomer Af Or Chazir Hapar, Or Choteret Shal Gamal Haraka, Or Harosh Shal Egel Arach, Or Aperasot, Or Beit HaBoshet, Or HaShalil, Or Shetachat HaAliyah, Or Hanakav HaKoach, Or Leta'av HaChomet, Rabbi Yudomer, no, Leta'al already is real skin, that's like a chulda, and it's not like Vasa. V'kulon Shekib Dan, Or She'ilach Bem Kidei Avodah, at that point for sure it's Tor. Chutz Mi'or HaAdam, which is even Tomei after Ibud. Rabbi Yochum and Nuri Omer, Shmona Shratzim, all of them, Yesh Lamarot, and it's never Kibisaran. Omar Ulav. Dvar Torah, or Adam Tahor, Umatam Amrutame, Gzeira Shemaya Adam Orot Avivi Imoshe Tichim. Ikan about Ela Seifa. Even where Kulan She'ibdam or She'ilachmem Kitei Avodat Torim Chutzmiye or Adam, Omar Ula Dvar Torah, or Adam Shibdo Tahor, Umatam Amrutame, Gzeira Shemaya Adam Orot Avivi Imoshe Tichim. So Madamatina Reisha Koshkina Seifa. Or a chazir, in kishta. Or chateret shel gamala raka. Kama, do we call it a gamala raka? Or mulam rabbi yishum and levi, kozman shel otana. Boy rabbi yirmiya. And what about if he gias man aliton v'otana mao? Boy abaya. And if lo he gias man aliton v'otana mao? Take. Yati Veshlokish Vikomi Boyle Kama Gamala Raka, Omele Rabbi Shmo Barava, Hacham Rabbi Shurban Levi, Kozman Shlotana, Omele, oh, Shmak, Tivla Kabli. Same mice happened to Rabbi Zera, where Yati Rabbi Zera Vikomi Boyle Kama Gamala Raka, where Ravin Barkin and Akwat Sulam Rabbi Shurban Levi, Kozman Shlotana, and Rabbi Zera ignores him. So Avikatani, like, keeps repeating it, Omele, you know. You know one thing in your life, you already said it. It's enough. So Tochazi Ma Ben Tkifi Ar Yisrael Chassidi Lepov. Be Ora Rosh Kama Egel Arach Ulamar Ben Shnato Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kozman Shionet. So how do we read this? Ibaygo Echi Kama. Is it that Ula is saying Ben Shnato Vehu Shionet? Be Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan Kozman Shionet. Al Dilma Ula Ben Shnotoka Amar Ben Yonek Ben Sheino Yonek Amale Rabbi Yochanan Ben Shnato Vuhu Shionek Tashma Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kozman Shionek Vim Ita Vuhu Shionek Biboyle Shma Mina Boy Mine Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Or Harosh Shal Egel Harach Maush Yetame Amale Enometame Amalei lemaratana rabbeinu l'sharotein kibsoran, one of which was our Rosh Legal Arach. Amalei, leave me alone. I'll talk to any blush in your head and you shone out. The Tanya shochetet ha'olah la'ktir kezayet mi'osh tachat ha'olya. Chutz le'bekomo pasul ve'en bo karet, chutz zmano pigu v'chayim ve'en alav karet. Elazar ben Yehuda ish avelu momer mishum Rabbi Yaakov, v'chein ha'ya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikum mishum Rabbi Shimon. No, it's any of the things in our mission or our right hand. Echador parasod, echador roshel egal rak, echador roshel tachad al ya. V'chol shemanu chachamim gavitum a, she'orotehen kibisaran, lavi horshel beit haboshet. Chutz emekom oposven bo karei, chutz ezman opigo, v'chayavina lav karei. V'or beit haparasod, my beit haparasod. So Rav amar, beit haparasod, mamash. Rebbe Chanina amar, kuvanim keret ha'im harosh. Ora anakatan rabbanu, Hatebeim l'rabot oroten kibisaran. Yochel afilu kulan, ta'abad lomar eile. What do you mean, ta'abad lomar eile? Eile has done all of the eight. No, omar rab, because if you take a look, l'minehu comes between the two psukim. And it's yivsika inyan. So then why don't we include Din Shamet? Amar Shurba Yitzchak, Rav, it does include Din Shamet. Rav Tanu V'Tani Din Shamet. But our Mishnah doesn't. So what about the Tana Dikan, the Lord Tani Din Shamet? Amar Shesh Bered Ravidi, look, our Tana and Rav Yehuda basically hold the same thing. Does Abasar Gishta. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about the Gishta of Lita'a. But in principle, they don't learn it out of the Pasuk Ke'ila. They simply say it's a Sfar. You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy.
Yeah. Today's Daf is Daf Kuf Chof Beis. And we're holding on the bottom of Daf Kuf Chof Alav Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'alal HaMechunas. So what Rabbi Yehuda says is that if you have a kizayis of alal that's put together in one place, and we said that in this case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, certainly the meaning of alal is basar shepalat tosaki, because otherwise it doesn't help to be kenes maritika. Maritika means gibet tzavu. It doesn't become which I have to eat. But if it means basar shepalat tosakim, so if it's all in one place, then it's considered to be metame on its own. It doesn't need zero. Now, one way to have understood that, if it wouldn't have been for what Rav Huna says, was that according to Rav Yud, it's talking about if lechatchila it was a kizayis there. Not that you collected it, but that it's konus, meaning that having cut the skin, you cut a little bit too much of the basar off, and you'll have to hold kizayis for mokan mepon. No, kizayis for mokan mepon is considered to be the time of it. So it's not basar to be. However, it's clear from what Rav Huna says, Amar Rav Huna, v'hu shekon so, that Rav Huna understands that the meaning of Rav Yehuda is not that you had mechatzchila kizayis for mokan mepon, but rather that you gather it together, and that's what's makshavit to be an oracle. Memela, he points out, that when it says over here that Allah mechunas, it means that someone intelligent did it, and not that it happened to be gathered in one place, let's say children, put it together without a machshava zayin. Now that leads us to certain problems, as we'll see, because now we're going to have to figure out what the status was of Allah before it's mechunas. And since we're learning that basar shepalat tosakin, the lechayrit should be bottled to the or that it's on. Once it's bottled to the or that it's on, it doesn't make sense now that it should become all of a sudden meat again, because you're machnesit. So now the question is, how do we understand the following? Gam Ravuna. Shnei chatzai zeitim. Sheyeshna magar ha'or. Ha'or mevatla. Ravuna also said that if you have two half a zesim of basar in different places, both attached to the same skin. Remember, we're talking about now the same palatotosakim. So it's attached to the skin. They're both bottled to the skin at this point, and you can't turn them now into food, into basar. Now, the question is, aliba demai. The first thing we have to define is, according to whom did Rav Huna say this minor? Because it happens to be that later on, as we'll see in a day from now, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva as to what the halacha is v'gabe tuma of shnei chatzai zeisim. What's it negeya? It's negeya tumas matha. Somebody's carrying around the skin, and it has two chatzai zeisim on it, of basar nevela. So if you hold that the kizayis is not bottled, chatzizesim, kizayis pesach akogir, is not bottled to the or, then since you can be metame from a nevela b'masas, you were carrying pesach akol, a kizayis of basar nevela. You can't touch it because it's not one piece, but you can carry it all at one time, and the carrying it would be mitzarefet. If on the other hand it's bottled to the or,
So you're not carrying any Basur Nevela. You're just carrying the Orav Nevela. Orav Nevela is not Metame. Therefore, we want to know, Alibad, which man the Yomar did Rav Huna say his Shita? I Alibad Rav Yishmol. If he was saying that if you have Shmei Chatzoy Zeisim or Mevatar according to Rav Yishmol, I mean, I thought the whole point of Rav Yishmol is that if you carry around an Orav Nevela, that has Shmei Chatzoy Zeisim, it is Metame. So obviously he holds that the Orav is not Mevatar the Basur. So how am I lo Mevatar? And if he's coming to tell me that I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, that the or isn't Bavata, the boss, I mean, Pshita, that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you're carrying around an or of an avela that has on it, Shnechatzoy Zeisim in Stamay, obviously it's not Bottle for the or. And I don't need him to tell me the Ferish Mishnah. See, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, Pshita, Harma, Vatal, or what was Ravuna trying to tell us? Says the Gemara, Le'elam, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. Truth is, he was talking Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel, or all this betame when it comes to Tumas Nevela, but Chiyoma Rabbi Shmuel lo mevatel or hane mile shapalatato chaya avo palatato sakim batil. Where you're talking about the bosser that was on the or, that's the case that we had yesterday, palatato chaya, a dog bit it. So a dog had torn off a little bit of the skin, not completely, but it was hanging with a piece of boss that was attached to it, let's say. Pochus because I was. So over there was nothing that was mevatalin, because at that point it still was mechorbet to the animal, and therefore we don't say he used his knife to cut around it, and so he was makshav it only to be part of the or. Rav Huna was saying that afilu aliv der bishmo, who holds that when you carry around a or mevela that has on it that bosa is attached to it, it is mitami. That's dafka. If you were not the one who cut off the or in such a way that it should have these little pieces of meat that's still attached, but if you cut it off yourself, so it's palatato sakin. So over there, it's considered to be that you were mevatel it with your own mind, because this is the way you cut it. You cut it obviously in a way that was not mocked, but unless you considered it to be part of the or, there Rabbi Yishmael would be made there. That it would not be Metame the Nevela. Toshma. So now the question is, how do we square these two shitas? Because remember that the same Rav Huna that explains over here that Bosa Shapalatatos Sakim is Bosa to the Or is the Rav Huna that explained in Rabbi Yehuda that the Olal, which is Bosa Shapalatatos Sakim, as we explained yesterday, if it's mechunat b'makom echad, it's not bottled to the yorn, and it has a status of boser. So now there seems to be a contradiction between those two approaches, and this is what the Gemara now wants to investigate. Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'alala mechunas yish kizayit b'makom echad chayavim alav, comes along Rav Huna and he says v'hu shekam so, which means that Rav Huna is telling us that the way to understand Rav Yehuda is not that when he was mafalit the busser with the sakin when he did the skinning, that he... Rich, are you here in this world? That's a bottle to the or if it's only a chatzi. Yeah, you don't want to be metame benevela over here. Let's see. All right. Let's have a kizayis from Makamef of Maya. So if Rav Huna hadn't said what he said, I could have understood that Aliba, the Rav Yehuda, all Rav Yehuda was saying is that if when you cut the skin you left a full kizayis from Makamef, it's a tchonus from Makamef, not that after it became bottle to the oil you gathered it. So then it's Tomei, which is fine. But now that Rav Huna explains that it's talking about that you brought together pieces of meat that you pulled off of the skin that had been left before with the skin. How did that square with what Rav Huna himself says, that afilo aliva the Rabbi Yishmael, the din is that the basar of the nevela would not be metame if you had initially cut off a few places less than a kazayas, but a kazayas was attached to the yard, because by cutting it off, you're mevatel it. So what did both of us do now together? The Amr of Huna who should come to us. I am the Bishlema Palatato Sakin L'Ravishmo Nami Loi Batil. If you're going to tell me that the way Rav Huna understands it is that Afilu Aliba the Ravishmo, when you cut off the skin with your knife,
You left less than a kezias here, less than a kezias there, altogether a kezias b'churba to the or. That is where Rabbi Yishmael is saying that it would be metami b'nevela. So in other words, Rabbi Yishmael would hold that the or is not mevatel the basar, even if palatato sakin. So then you could say that when Rav Huna was explaining Rabbi Yehuda, that if your machin is now a kezias b'mokam echad, it's metame, that was aliva, the Rabbi Yishmael. So then you could say Rav Huna diomak Rabbi Yishmael. But if you're going to tell me that Rav Huna is mechadish, that aliva the Rabbi Yishmael, the only case where or is mevatel, the only case where the or is not mevatel the basa, is where it was palatato chaya. But if it was palatato sakin, if you cut it in this way, it's not going to be metamid and avela. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's never metamid and avela, because it's always batal to the or. So where exactly does Rabbi Yehuda sit? So he's not going to either shita over here. Rabbi Yehuda has explained Rabbi Yehuda, shalom alim Rabbi Yishmael, v'shalom alim Rabbi Akiva. So because if you're saying he amit palatato sakin, that even palatato sakin according to Rabbi Yishmael is batal. So Rabbi Yehuda the Amar Kemar? Then who was Rav Huna going according to him? What, he's creating now a new shita? Why would he do such a thing? What right does he have to do such a thing? So the way you were just masbir Rav Huna, that Rav Huna is going aliv to Rabbi Yishmael and he's being machadish, that palatato sakin aliv to Rabbi Yishmael is buckled to the orb, who was he going according to when he explained that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to a case of a lav on the chunas that you gathered together after it was already cut? The reason that this is a kasha on Rav Huna is because nobody forces this pirush in Rav Yehuda. He's the one who made it up. I could easily have understood Rav Yehuda as meaning that if lechatchila there was a kezayis left behind by palatato sakin, then it's metame. But if Rav Huna comes along and says it's talking about where you add little pieces, how can that same Rav Huna go along and say that aliva, even Rav Yishmael, little pieces of palatato sakin would have been brought to the or? See, he's creating an impossible situation, Rav Huna. So therefore, we obviously learned the wrong shot in the room. Certainly, palatato sakin, aliva de Rabbi Yishmael, is not bottle. And Rav Huna was not coming to be mazber Rabbi Yishmael. When Rav Huna, the second mimer of Rav Huna, about Shnei Chatzai Zaysi, where it says that they're bottle or. Is everybody following this? Yeah? So Shnei Chatzai Zaysi, where he says they're bottle or. He was indeed going according to Rabbi Akiva. He'll say, I don't know, what am I, an idiot? I need Rav Huna to tell me how to read a mission that's coming up the day after tomorrow. What's the Chiddush? Pshita, ayotayna pshita. Because Ma'ur detema, it's not so pashut. Because Ma'ur detema kikom Rabbi Akiva. I would have thought it's the opposite. That Rabbi Akiva was saying, dafka in a case where palatato sakin. Only where you had cut it off in such a way that you left behind these pieces of meat. Obviously you don't care about them. So you, in your mind, it's just part of the skins. Once you do that, it loses its shame buster. Isn't that? Abba palatato chaya. Maybe in a case where it happened to be that this piece of skin was hanging loose because it had been attacked by another animal or something. So over there, it wouldn't have been bottle. Comes along with Huna to make it clear. You should know when Rabbi Akiva says it's bottle in any and all circumstances. And as if you have, in any case, no matter how it happened, Shnei Chatzari Zaysim, and a mechuber to the same skin, Rabbi Akiva is saying it will not be betami ben avela no matter how it got there, even if you didn't cut it that way, and it just would naturally have found it that way. That's his thing. What? On the same skin. It's not betami. I'll leave it to Akiva no matter how it got that way. That's what it is. Why? Kamashron comes along now, Rav Huna to explain Rabbi Akiva's svara. That's the point. The time of the Rabbi Akiva, the meaning of Rabbi Akiva's approach is not that he was mevatel it by cutting it that way, but rather that the or is mevatel. In other words, the or itself is choshev here, and anything that's attached to the or that doesn't have its own chashivas is memela batel, no matter how it got there. So loshna palat chayar, loshna palat sakin. It doesn't matter how the chatzizayis basa was there. The very fact that it's mechuber to a piece of skin which has its own chashivas is mevatel. Kiniktani seif, and indeed you can be medayik that from the seif of the Mishnah to come,
Well, it says the Pharisees with name Ma Rabbi Akiva Mitaherba or Mipnei Shaor Mevatlan. In other words, it's coming to stress, it's not your cutting of the or that was Mevatel, which you might have thought. It's the fact that it's on the or that's Mevatel. The following things have skin, which because it is soft and is considered basically to be the equivalent of basar, and it has the same din as basar legabe tuma. Or ha'adam, the human skin, is mitame, the or chazir shal yishuv, and pigskin. It's interesting, there's many things in which pigs and humans, you know, are similar. You can use use pigskin for burn victims, which is fascinating. And also the pig's digestive system is a duplicate of the human digestive system. It's also fascinating. Many things are, medically, you could do from one to the other.
The same size?
Oh, really? That I don't know.
As opposed to a wild boar,
yeah. Rabbi Yonamar, Ab Chazir, Ab Or Chazir Habar. He also, even a boar skin is considered to be soft enough to be considered kibasa. Rabbi Yonamar, yeah. Furthermore, Or Chateret Shel Gamal Haraka, soft Gamal, I mean a very young Gamal, we'll see what defines that in the Gemara. So the skin of the hump of such a camel is soft. Or Harosh Shel Egel Harach, as we saw earlier. Again, the Gemara is going to define what exactly is a young egel. Or haparasot, also the Gemara is going to define what area that's considered to be or. Or beit haboshet, also the vaginal area of a female is considered to be soft and therefore kibasar. Or hashlil of a fetus. Or shaltachat ha'alya, beneath the fat tail of a keves, there is very soft skin over which it hangs. The or, furthermore also, the or of some of the Shemona Shrotzim. The anakar, which is generally translated as a hedgehog. The koach, I don't know how do they translate a koach. I don't know if they, does anybody have, nobody has an English, you know. Valita'a, the lizard, and the chomet, which is a snail. So all of those things have very soft skins, and they're considered to be basar mamish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I disagree about lita'a. A lita'a kechulda, no different than the choled, the weasel, which is the first of the Shemona Shratzim. The or lita'a is the same as the chulda. We'll see what they're arguing is. The kulan she'ibda, or she'ilech ben k'dei avoda, all of the above cases in which the skin was processed with chemicals, or it was trampled on, which also hardens it. There, it takes away the shame of basar and turns the skin actually into a big skin wallet, and it's tohar at that point. Chutz mi or ha'adam, except for human skin, which retains its tumas mace. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmone Shratzim yesh lehem orot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was all of the Shmone Shratzim have real skin, and not basar, and therefore the skin would not be metame, even the ones that you listed above, the anaka, the krokleta, and so on. Omarullah, Dvar Torah, or Adam Tahor. Fact is, midiraisa, there is no tuma on or ha'adam, because it's not considered to be basar, because it's gizel makhlif, it's an organ, which if it's cut, it replaces itself, and so on, and that's not considered to be the actual adam. But matam amrutame. Why did the chachamim be gozer tuma on it? Gzera shema yase adam orot aviv v'imo shtichin. There's a gzera that if it wouldn't be matame, and people may turn their parents into carpets
or
tablecloths or lampshades. Now this is a little bit strange, you must admit. Why dafka parents is a major question in the Rishonim, since every mace is aser v'hanah. So there's a number of different approaches to this. One is that we do find in cultures, as the Ramban talks about, that in cultures that don't have any concept of tuma, that it's viewed as something that you honor your ancestors, by having, you know, altars in front of your ancestors. So you preserve your ancestors. They actually walk around with their ancestors. No, it's another pshat, is that it's a good luck charm. That's a Radvaz, the Tribus of Radvaz says it's a good luck charm. And we'll actually see, it's interesting, later on in this sugya, that the Romans, and we know about the Indians, used to walk around with scalps, which is actually Ora Odam. And they would use it as a good luck charm, as a sign of, Hashivism. So Mimela, for talis, either for talismanic purposes or for worship of the ancestors and so on, in order to avoid that type of nonsense, there actually goes a tumor, and therefore people are marked on tumor. Other people won't walk into the house, so it's a Mimela. That type of thing would never get going. Now, there's also a different approach, which I haven't seen, but which I always thought myself could be a deeper element of here, which is many of our cultural developments are predicated on the Torah instead of vice versa. So the fact that we feel a certain way about something may well be because the Torah was koveya dinam of tumah legabei hameis. So that is koveya, our response, our cultural response. So in the Melech, when the Chachomim were koveya that or is matame, we now view or as a chelek of a mace. If it wouldn't be that way, and indeed we may not have. For me personally, I find it exceedingly distasteful to have a talisman of hair of a mace. Many people do that. They keep a child's hair or the parents' hair, the goyim for sure. I mean, they worship the hair of Muhammad or whatever. Because that we don't view that as part of the body. So since we don't view it as part of the body, we don't have that same sense of disgust to it. Whether you're going to use a piece of the mace. So I mean, this question of ore is very similar. Dried ore and hair. It's big nafkamina. So Chazal or Kaveya, that nafkamina in us. So now we look at it that way. But certainly you could see, I find it absurd to walk around with hair. But I know some people don't have that view. Fine. Now the question is, what was Ula referring to? Was he referring to the Reisha? And he was saying that Niikar Adin, not where you were Ba'aved or Adam, but the Or Adam, even in its raw state, that he was saying that actually Dvar Torah, even real Or, would not be Matame? Or was he saying on the Chutz Mi'or HaAdam, at the end of the Mishnah, where it says, Kulam She'ibdu, that over there, the Chachamim were gozer, even though it lost its shame of Meis since you processed it. That's a Machlokas now. Says the Gemara like this. That man, there's one Yamshita holds.
The
Ikeh Vesed. What's
that? The Ikeh
Vesed. I'm sorry, I forgot, I didn't say it inside. The Ikeh Matzila. So some learn that what he's going is on the Sefer, that where it says Kulam She'ibdan or She'ilech Behem Kidei Avodah Tahorin Chutz Mi'or Adam, and on that Ula said Dvar Torah Or Adam She'ibdo is Tahor. After you were Ma'abed the Or, immediately arise it would have lost its Tumah. Umatam Amru Tamei Gzer Shema Yaseh Adam Orot Avivi Moshtichim. So Ma'ad Ba'atzva Reisha Koshkina Sefer. The Ma'ad Yomru holds it even in the Reisha. It would not have been Matame. Obviously, holds after Ibud, it would not have been Matame. Ma'adamasni ha-seifa, ablaresha, tumidhi raisa. The Man Yomar says Ula was only responding to the last part of the Mishnah. There, Ula was saying that Or is not considered to be Adam where it's mi'ubad, midhi raisa, but where it's really raw Or, then it is Matame, even midhi raisa. Or chazir, machlokas, whether it's Or chazir, or even of a wild boar, the machlokas is what is considered to be soft, basically. The question is, how soft is soft in terms of basar? Or chater to gamal harakana. What is a gamal haraka?
Is it
soft
enough to eat?
Well, yes, it is actually. But again, how long do you have to boil it? What exactly do we mean by soft?
But how can you, uh,
friends from Alexander that they said a tough rabbi don't play in the factor at all in terms of definition.
No, that's raw versus not raw. It's not the same as hard material versus soft material. Omar Ulam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the shear of a gamal haraka is kozman shelo ta'ana. It's a gamal that has not carried burdens. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, do you mean the age at which it would carry burdens, or do you mean the actual carrying of burdens? How about higiyaz mana l'tanim? It's old enough to be toin, but it didn't. Mao and Abayas, and what about the opposite case? How about if you used it to carry burdens, but it was still young? That's not clear whether he meant a shear of roi. Yosef Reish Lakish, now Reish Lakish was once sitting, the Kami Boyle, and he was asking how to understand this Mishnah Kama Gamal Haraka. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba was there, and he quoted this mimer of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he said, Och Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Zman Shelo Ta'ano, which Reish Lakish was very pleased to have learned. And Reish Lakish tells Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba, please, sir, Tiv Lakobli, sit down next to me. That was wonderful. Now, Rabbi Zeira, in a different location, remember that Rabbi Zeira had come from Bavo. Remember, he was the one that had fasted the 40 times. He has to forget Talmud Bavli, so he should be able to learn afresh. So he was also had this question once. Ravin was there, and Ravin Barkinam was there, and he said the same thing. He said, Now, Rabbi Zeira did not respond. And what happened is that Ravin thought that he hadn't heard him properly, because he didn't show him any value for what he had given him. So he said it again. He said it again. All my life, Rabbi Zeira said, fine, you know one thing in your life. You already said it. How many times are you going to say over the one thing that you know? So, look at the difference. Look at the toughest people in Eretz Yisrael, Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish wouldn't even speak to anybody unless it was 100% reliable. The Gemara says if Reish Lakish was seen speaking to a person, that person was given any amount of money and business at home without a contract. Because Reish Lakish held enough for you to speak to you, so he was about as tough as you can get. Somebody says something, then he's marched to be very fair, he sits him down, puts him on his side. Rabbi Zeira was considered to be the chosid of Eretz Bavel, the most wonderful person. Check himself out in the Tanur to see whether he was going to hell every month, right? But if somebody teaches him something, he treats him like this. So look at the difference between the top guys in Eretz Yisrael and the chassidim of Bavel. You'll see the nafkamina in the Madrega Sa'odah. This is the way you treat somebody who taught you something. He taught you something, you don't respond. So he says it again, so you make an idiot out of him. There's one thing you know in your life. Or harosh shel egel harach. What is the shear of an egel harach? Ulama ben shnato. So it says, as long as the egel is within its first year, and Rabbi Yochanan says, kol zman she'onek, as long as it's nursing. Now, it's not clear what that means. Does ula mean, yibaylo, echi kama, ula ben shnato v'hu she'onek? Is Ula saying within its first year and only as long as it's nursing? To which Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's okay even after the first year. Called Zmanchiyone. Or Dilmore, maybe Ula is saying, I don't care about nursing. I only care if it's within its first year. Ben Shnato. Ben Yonate, Ben Sheno Yonate. And Rabbi Yochanan is coming along to say, no, you're right about Ben Shnato, but only if it's nursing. Well, Tashman, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kol Zman Shiyonei. Notice the way Rabbi Yochanan said it. If he was coming to limit what it was that Ula had said, he should have said, no, wait a minute, it's only if it's nursing. Behu Shiyonei Biboile, right? Since he said Kol Zman Shiyonei, he's obviously extending it and he's saying, look, it doesn't matter, it's as long as it's nursing. So Shema Mina, that he meant to extend it even beyond. Boy min ha-resh lakish min Rabbi Yochanan. Or ha-rod shel egel ha-rach ma-hu shi-yitameh. Now, obviously he knew the Mishnah, and he was asking, how do we apply it? will I be metame or Rosh HaLegal HaRach? And surprisingly, Rabbi Yochanan said that they know metame. It's not metame, not like the Mishnah. So all my leverage, Lakish, they asked, because we had this earlier. When Maratenu Rabbeinu Elu Sha'orotem Kivisaran, didn't we have a Mishnah that says the following have or that has a din of Basar, and among the list was Or HaRosh HaLegal HaRach. Because he wanted to see what the Halacha Lamaisa was. Because he certainly knew the Mishnah, but he saw that they were not being mocked at an Egel HaRach. So he wanted to be sort of asking, what about the Mishnah, in a nice way. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Amalei, Al tak diteini, get off my case, buddy. I hold that our Mishnah is only a Lashon Yochid, even though it doesn't say over here, it says it as a Stam Mishnah, because it's clear that this was only a Lazar ben Yehuda. Why do I say it? Because when it comes to the same halacha of the Gabi Kodshin, there we have a Shaila, somebody shechs an Eila, and you need over there in order to make something pigul, a kizayis, that is roy for achila to make it pigul, right? So he takes a kizayis, amanat lahakta kizayis mior shetakas ha'alya, chutz l'mekeme. So chutz l'mekeme, it's always not high of chorus, it's only posel, okay? But posel it is, then bo chorus. If you have a makshevet chutzizmano, then it's actually considered to be pigul, but chayoven of chorus. So obviously, he holds that this is considered to be a piece of Basar. Now, that's the only piece that it talks about, is the Or Shetakas Ha'Aliyah. Comes along Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Isha Avelu, and he quotes Rabbi Yaakov, V'chein Oya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Ish Kvar, I think it should be Ikus, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, that actually it isn't only a din in the Or Shetakas Ha'Aliyah, it also is Or HaPerasot, and the Or HaRosh HaMenegel HaRach, and the Or Shetakas Ha'Aliyah, and everything that appears in the Mishnah of Or Va'Araita, Kol Shemonu Chachamim, Gabi Tuma, She'orotem Ki V'Saran, and what am I adding here, B'Nogei HaKadshim? Well, you were only talking about an Eila, which is a Zohar. The case I would be adding would be L'Gabi Nekeva, which is the Or Shel Beit HaBoshet. So if you're bringing, let's say, a Shlomim, so you'll be bringing in a Keva over there, you have to include that as well. Any of these skins, Chutz L'Mekomo, is possible in Bokaret, Chutz is Manos Pigo, V'Chayamon HaKaret. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's clear from this Brisa that our Mishnah was actually the Shita of Elazar ben Yehuda. Right? Because the Egel HaRach skin was not included in Elu Shoros Eki B'Sar, and I'll leave it at Tanakama. Only the Or Shetakas Ha'Aliyah. Okay, so therefore, you ask me, Halakha L'Maisa? I'm telling you, Halakha L'Maisa, that the Or of an Egel HaRach is indeed not B'Tanik HaBasa. And what does the Mishnah mean by Or Beit HaParasot? The Or Beit HaParasot. My Beit HaParasot. The Rav says Beit HaParasot is my Mishnah. It means really right around the area where you have the skin directly on the bone, where there's really no muscle there, leading into the actual hoof. So there you have, basically it's the only covering that there is, and that's very soft skin. Whereas Rabbi Chanina says, no. It means the Arkuva Anim Keret Imarosh. It means that the Or over there from the Arkuva, this is the Arkuva Tachtona, means the ankle. It looks like a knee. The entire piece is what we're referring to over here as being very soft. Not only the piece that's Mamish Mechuber to the Parasot. A foot, actually. It's a foot, not a leg. Yeah, well, it's all soft, tiny. The Or Ha'anaka. Now here's the issue. The Torah says, Elu Hatmeim Lachem, after listing the Shmona Shvatzim, that the thing is that the Shmona Shvatzim are listed in two groups, with the more the rodents in the upper group, and then it says Liminehu, with the Akbar and the Chol and the Akbar and so on. That says Liminehu. And then it goes into the what appear to be more of the
lizard type things, you know, with the carp, with the ah, although it does include over there also a hedgehog. But fine, so there it has the anaka as well. So what we darsh now is that hatmeim is marbe the orot to be kibisara. You might think that it means afilu kulan, tamalomer ela. But understand, the ela is referring to all of the above, isn't it? I mean, how can you use ela to be machalik? Via ela kuluksivi. Omarab leminehu hipsika inyan. Since leminehu occurs at the end of the first pasuk, so the ela is not referring to all of the above, it's referring to some of the above, going back up to the word leminehu. So then, if that's the case, then the tinshamet should be included, the mold should be included, because it's in the last pasuk, not the first pasuk, even though it's more of the rodent type thing. We should say that if it's based on a pasuk, so then the or of the tinshamet should also be considered to be mezamet, because the Torah is marbet with hatmeim. Omer Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Shmuel bar Yitzchak kindness Rav obviously is chelik on this. And Rav indeed is a Tana, and he is Tana Tinshamet. He lists Tinshamet with them because of this Sephora. And according to him, Enachinami, the Pasuk has defined it. So, but what about our Tana? I mean, the Tana be done low Tana Tinshamet. How is he understanding it? Omer Shesh Breger Vidi, Tana be done, Savalak Rav Yehuda. Our Tana does not learn it out from the Pasuk of Hatzvayim with the Natalina of Ela after Laminehu. He follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Lata'ah is like a Chula. Why does he say that? Because, there's certainly no basis of learning the Lata'ah like a Chula, because the Lata'ah is in the second Pasuk and the Chula is in the first Pasuk. So how do you say Lata'ah is like a Chula? Obviously, he's going according to this experimental evidence of whether it's or not. So how does it feel? Does it feel soft? Does it feel hard? So he's saying a lizard skin is tough. And if it's tough, it should have the same thing as a chulda. Just like you don't list the chulda, shouldn't list the lita'ah. So therefore, clearly, what he's going according to over here is that our Tana is going according to gishta, is the way that it feels. Does it bust a gishta? So they're arguing, okay, there's all different layers of soft. So the gishta, da lita'ah, come in, they're arguing. Now, as to the judgment of whether the lizard is considered to be a real skin, similar to a rat, or whether it's something in between, it's more similar to a snail. The kulan she'ibdan, and all of the ones that you were ma'abed, or you were mahalek over them, you walked on them long enough, that hardens them, they lose their din of bus. So you see, that you were literally mahalech. But if you were not literally mahalech, your own machshava to be mahalech doesn't take off the din of tumah. But lo, he like lo, ay, vatani rapia. Doesn't rapia say that if you take if you need a patch on your saddle or something, perfect way to make a patch is to take the chamor's ear and sew it onto the saddle. And then you got a pretty tough patch. You don't have to work on it at all. So if you use it now for your leather canteen or whatever, it's tall. It loses its shame tuma. Why? Because you made it into using it as a piece of skin. So you see, tala'ah, even tala'ah doesn't mean to hang, it's with a tetch. Tala'ah means to catch. So tala'ah, apak abdullohi.
This is here from a
Yeah, it's like an avail of a chamor, cut off its ear, and sewed it on. So you see, without any kind of ibud and without any kind of hilo, it loses its chain tuma. So why does our mission say you have to be mahalek on it? Well, because tala'ah indeed apagav the lo yilek. Lo tala'ah yilek and lo yilek lo. We know that if you do a maisa to something, you can take off a chain tuma. So sewing it on as a patch is a maisa, it's mamata. But if you haven't sewed it, then in order for it to lose its tumas vebelis, you would have had to be mahalik on it. So we know that a mice is mamata tuma. What you were suggesting was just a makshava that I want to be mahalik on it. Makshava is not mamata.